Hey yo, welcome to How to Write a Novel, the chronicle of the man who pathetically continues to not finish his novel. This was supposed to be the last one. I mean, not the last one. I'm gonna keep doing stupid podcasts till the day I goddamn die. But the last one, as far as, like, I'm actually gonna finish the first draft of this novel. But that's gonna have to be next episode, because I'm literally this time. I know I've been saying, though, I'm right at the end for a long time. I'm literally on the last page. I was hanging out with my friend Ken, the Scarborough dude, in Toronto, and I showed him. I pulled it up on my phone because he said that. He's like, oh, you're at the end, huh? I mean, you've been quote-unquote at the end for several years now. And I pulled it up on my phone, and I was like, look at this. Just scroll down this little tiny bit. All I got to do is, like, put these pieces together, edit this a little, this, and that's it. That's the end of the book. He's the first person who's seen the end of the book. But since I've been chronicling the minutiae all this time, I'll chronicle this minutiae of why, if I am literally on the last page, what's going on here? How come I'm not done? Man, being back in my hometown, where definitely the most difficult part of this writing process occurred, I was walking around with my friend Brad the other day, and just like, oh yeah, here we are in Odell Park, where, like, I recognized, like, oh, there's the fallen tree where I fucking came out in the middle of winter, because it was all COVID times, and there were no coffee shops open, and I just pathologically hate writing at home, where I set up a Chromebook in the middle of the winter on this fucking fallen tree and just stood there like it was a standing desk, and I wrote for 20 minutes until the fucking computer shut off from the cold. And then in the summertime parts of COVID, where I got a mosquito net and a folding chair, and I went and tried to fucking sit out there under a net, and that extremely did not work. Mosquitoes always got in. But the desperate lengths I went to, where that's like, looking back on this, I am like a little bit proud of, like, yeah, this took a long time. Not exactly a knife through butter writing this novel, but I'm proud that I did do it. Like, I did stick with it. Man, did I stick with it when things were like ludicrously tough, which again, I mean, it's all relative. Everyone in the world had a harder time during COVID than me. Oh no, it was difficult to work on my novel. I get that this is all boutique bullshit, but it really was like a fucking weird time. And I did it. I stuck to it. The stick-to-itiveness was valuable. But I guess that's kind of what this episode's going to be about. The same thing every episode has been about from the get-go. But, like, I'm kind of glad that this particular part of the process has failed, because it makes more sense. As obviously this whole time I've been talking about consistency and developing a daily work habit. And then, while traveling last year, I held on again for a while, because I'm still editing. I have, like, little travel podcasts I did while traveling. So even though I'm back in Canada now, the podcast, I'm only on the tail end of my South Korea visit. So I'd been in Japan for 3 months, then Korea for like four and a half months. And listening back to that audio, whenever I edit one of those episodes, it's like I'm still talking about getting my writing in. I haven't given up yet. But ultimately, I did stop. While traveling, I made the executive decision, I'm gonna stop worrying about this, because I just wanna soak in travel with my whole brain. And even if you only write 20 minutes a day, as I've described many times also, it's the iceberg thing. That 20 minutes is the tip of the iceberg. And it's actually taken up a lot of brain space. It's taken up a lot of room in your head. So I don't regret it. I would do it again. Just quit writing while I'm traveling, because I just want to be a travel guy. But then when I got back to Toronto, I did a pretty good job of getting back on the daily writing. And I was like, oh, good. I got away with that. Somehow I got away with just not writing for like 6 months, and then I just snuck right back into writing every day. I guess it's because I did such a good job of developing a habit previously that I just slipped right back in. But this is what I feel is like a kind of good failure, is that that's not good advice. That was bullshit. I was wrong about that. Don't listen to that. that's not how it works. That's not true. I did okay for a bit, but then I fell right off the wagon again. It's actually been quite hard to get back on the daily writing routine. But I feel like that makes more sense. That's how it should be, right? You can't just stop for 6 months with no consequences. You can't just stop the daily habit willy-nilly and then just hop right back on. Like, I'm kind of glad to learn that it was not easy to get back on the wagon. I think this is a good lesson to learn. This is a much better thing to have in my mind, that no, it's not okay to just do that. You can't just decide to stop writing and then flip the switch back on. Now I gotta get the fucking ball rolling again. Now I gotta start pushing the boulder again. And it is actually very hard to do. I guess maybe it was just like novel at first. So I'm back in fucking, back in Canada, back to writing every day. Yay, fun. But yeah, I didn't keep it up and then I fell off again. And there's a million reasons and excuses, and you know, I'll get into some shit, but I feel weirdly better knowing that I did not magically get away with that. I'm paying the price now for, you know, I guess like a train is a good analogy. A big train with like a bunch of fucking cars, and we put on the brakes and we stop the train and clank, and it all stops in the train yard, and you hear all that clanking and squealing of fucking cars coming to a stop, and then boom, just silent. And it's like, all right, now we got to get this train moving again. It's a fucking huge giant train. This is not going to be easy to do. This is going to take motive power. And I think today's a great example of how, like, I just, I'm like, all right, no more bullshit. Let's get this together. So yesterday, horrible insomnia. I don't know what time I fell asleep, but the sun was up. Real bad. I was up till like at least 6 in the morning. And then I woke up at noon. So it's like, whatever, 6 hours of sleep. Like, that's not the worst. But talk about a good excuse to just consider the day a write-off. Like, oh, geez, I was up all night. Insomnia, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, 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 no. Not a good enough excuse. You know, I just got to quit it. I got to quit it with that shit. I got to go work on my stupid-ass fucking novel. It doesn't matter that yesterday was all fucked up. Doesn't matter that I feel all fucked up right now. Drank a can of coffee. Found some Mr. Brown at the supermarket. I even found a coffee brand from Korea. I think Mr. Brown is a Chinese thing. Anyway, give me a little taste of that old routine from traveling, but now I'm heading to Tim Hortons, get a fucking other coffee, just coffee myself to death, work on the book, stop fucking around. But there we go, another example of man learns obvious lesson that is very evident and could only ever be this way. But it really did seem like I'd gotten away with it. Like, maybe I had banked enough points somehow. My writing stats had gone up enough that I could just put everything on the shelf for 6 months and then pretend I had not done that. Just not the case. If I did, I'm sure I did level up my writing stats to some degree. Maybe this will be a little easier to get back into the swing than it was just to get things going initially. But it's not a foregone conclusion, that's for sure. But let's also yammer about some other stuff. Oh, so the Spotify apocalypse happened. I mentioned some episodes back that Spotify warned me, because I have music in my podcast, that could be a problem in the future. And they flagged a couple episodes that disappeared from the feed. In future, or not in the future of this podcast, I'm going to play music on this podcast forever. Fuck it, I don't care. But for future podcasts, other projects, yeah, you just can't put music in your stuff anymore. Used to be no big deal. And on places like YouTube, you know, they give you options. Either the ad money can just go to whoever owns the copyright of the song, or you can blank the audio. Spotify had no options. Spotify was just like, oh, by the way, half of your episodes now are just gone. Like, half of them. And it just made this whole thing such a mess on Spotify of like, this is ridiculous. Like, it's just a smattering of random episodes now. And I didn't think that I could have put out an episode, I guess, just warning people about that. I didn't really think about that. It was just like, oh, this is just a mess. Let's just remove this from Spotify. So I don't know. I guess if you were a person who was listening to this podcast on Spotify, I hope eventually, maybe eventually you'll think like, hey, whatever happened to that guy writing the book? And you'll go look this podcast up somewhere else. Welcome back. Right at the end, too. Right at the end. But I also kind of figured, like, who cares? Like, what does it matter? Anybody listening to this podcast is no doubt working on their own book, so they don't, it doesn't matter. I'm close enough. They know I got basically to the end. They don't need to hear the episode where I actually get to the end. Like, who cares? No one's too concerned, I don't think, about what I'm actually doing. You know, they're all working on their own stuff. But it is a little awkward that the whole Spotify version is just like, whoops, right at the end, it's gone. But yeah, if maybe it'll be like 2 years from now. You'll be like, how come there's no more episodes? Oh, well, not optimal. But like I said, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to put a song in this episode. I love putting songs on these podcasts, but it came back to bite me. Man, the river is really high in my hometown. It's on the St. John River, Fredericton, New Brunswick. It's a huge river. I'm walking across a walking bridge that goes across the river right now, but I saw like street signs that were just poking out of the top of the water. A bunch of trees are in the water now. This is huge. This is one of the biggest flood years I've seen in a long time. I mean, it's not one of the all-timers where people are like taking canoes down, you know, down the street downtown like assholes. I think that was like the 70s that people could just like canoe through downtown, but it's real high. This is what threw me off in Asia. My concept of a river is like a huge river. So all the little tiny rivers in Tokyo and stuff, I'd be like, that's a river? Really? That counts? But then I learned that's why you don't hear a lot about boat-based history in Asian countries, because there's ocean stuff, but within the countries themselves, the rivers are so small and twisty with all these rapids and waterfalls and stuff. It's just not a good place for boating. So yeah, the only rivers I really saw that were this big, the Arakawa, and there's a point where the Arakawa in Tokyo, there's another river that connects up to the side of it. The two of them together were big like this. And that was really cool and really nice. And I remember that day I walked across it, I found a little drink machine that had non-alcoholic, weird sake stuff in it. And then the river that cuts through Seoul is pretty fucking big too. But that was a whole different vibe because that was right in the depths of real bad winter pollution. So I just remember staring across that river into the death haze like I'm in the apocalypse. But those are the only two rivers I saw that were big like this. But yeah, I got two little reasons that threw me off writing, and then I got the actual reason. So the little ones, and I mean quote-unquote little, it's little, I guess, in the sense of really stopping you from writing, but it was fucked up. So in Asia, you know, I was hiking up mountains all the time, like 4 days a week, 5 days a week, going on a hike, because it's just mountainous terrain, and it was my favorite thing to do. Just go find a mountain, go hike around. I did it all the time. And some of them were really steep and crazy, and it's like you'd think if I was going to get injured, that might be when it would happen. But then I got back to Toronto, where there's nowhere to go and nothing to do, and it's just flat and boring. And even walking through the city, especially because I was on the outskirts, mega boring walk. So I just sat at my computer desk, did a lot of editing, fucking podcasts and stuff. And sitting is real bad for me because I have scoliosis, and it's not as bad when I'm standing and walking or hiking. In fact, it's much, much better when I do that stuff. Sitting just really exacerbates it. And I pull the muscle in my neck just from sitting at my computer doing nothing. And it's one of the worst injuries I've ever had. It was fucking crazy. It was like I got shot by a dart. Like, boo, just felt this big, like, flash of pain in my neck. But then that went away, and this is where I learned some horrible things. Apparently, if you pull a muscle deep in your neck, there's no pain receptors in there. So it has to send the pain signal somewhere else. So the pain radiates, in this case, to my forehead. It was like a migraine. And it was like I had a migraine for 2 straight days. It was unbelievable. And when I would sleep, like lay down to sleep it off, I always woke up feeling worse. not better. And I was like, I was worried. I was like, what is going on? And I finally determined what happened. And yeah, if I just like massaged my neck and really was careful and rehabbed it all the time, I could make these headaches go away. But it really was like quite bad. Real bad for 2 days, quite bad for 2 weeks, and then it really took a long time to just finally, like, more or less go away. But just incredible. One of my worst injuries of my life, after a year and a half of hiking around Asia, was sitting at my desk. Sitting is the new smoking, man. Especially if you have scoliosis, it fucks you up. I couldn't believe it. It's fucking insane. And the only time it really felt better, like the best time, was when I was walking. When I walked around, the pain went away a lot. And just how ironic that that's what I'd been doing the last year and a half. That's all I want to do. I walked all the way around Jeju Island. But in Toronto, man, it was like a tough ask. Like, walk for 2 hours? To where? It's just like, what would have just been the fun thing I would have wanted to do is a job in Toronto. It's suddenly not fun. It's just like, God, this sucks balls. But anyway, that certainly threw me off writing. I mean, that one, I'm going to give myself a pass for at least a week of that. I was in, like, miserable pain every day. It was horrible. But on a longer term, obviously, that shouldn't really affect things because it was just a temporary injury situation. Then getting back here to my hometown, like, I know this sounds like a bit of a cliche of, like, oh, of all the places I traveled and all the places I was stayed at and all these different Airbnbs and all these new countries I'd never been to. You know, like, I think of South Korea especially, I felt like was a very, like, unexpected stuff happened all the time there. And, you know, like, walking through a fish market in Busan, and there's, like, a bucket with a fucking octopus in it, and the octopus is trying to climb out, and an old lady is, like, poking it with a stick, like, get back in there, you know? But of all these places I went and all this stuff I did, like, it sounds corny to say it, but coming home was the weirdest thing. By far the weirdest thing. Just like all the stuff that people just kind of take for granted in their hometown or they just think is normal. And then specifically, not just my town, but my mom's house. The way my mom thinks like a house should be, it's just hard to describe. It's like I'm in a fucking weird fairy tale. But if there's like, you know, the fairy godmother and the evil step witch or whatever, it's right in the middle, you know? It's kind of nice and kind of homey and stuff. Anyway, just getting back here and trying to settle back in and just like, gah. Again, not a good reason to not be keeping up with writing, but it's just like, it's not comfortable at all to be around here. But again, these are these same type of things that have been happening the whole time of like, oh, I don't know, I'm having a hard time writing because I'm stuck at home. Maybe it'll be easier when I'm traveling and I travel around to different coffee shops. Then when I'm traveling, it's like, oh, it's a little tough to be writing because I'm traveling. I got other stuff on my mind. You know, there's always excuses. There's always shit, whatever. So those are the temporary things that don't really matter, but were throwing me off. The real one, the actual one, which is also something I've brought up many times on this podcast, but it's like really for real now. I'm staring it right in the face. It's not nearly as abstract as it used to seem. Is the idea that I just don't want to finish. I don't want this book to be done. The process is great. Working on the novel is great. The personal development of like thinking about this stuff and working on it and just knowing that I got to the end. Great. Good stuff. But the actual notion of the book being done, it's like, ooh, like there's no part of this that I like. I'm not excited to read over this whole book that I've been writing for years and years. Surely it's probably a lot more disjointed than I think it is. Who knows what I'm going to think when I read this thing? Hopefully it's kind of cool, but it might be a massive disaster. It might have a ton of work that needs to be done. It might just be like, oh God, what do I do about this? And then just those larger ideas of once this first draft is edited and edited and edited into the final version, then what? Oh, then the idea of trying to figure out how to get it published or something. And then, yeah, those two forks in the road of like, it's a failure. Oh, cool, great, awesome. or arguably worse. Again, I know it's a dumb thing to worry about. No one's on my wavelength with this. Everyone is like, what a weird thing to worry about. But the worry about success, like, okay, it's not going to happen. How many people are successful? It's not a thing. But I just know a success would not make my life better. You know, this is as good as it's going to get as far as writing goes. No pressure, no stakes, just letting my mind devise the coolest novel that I can. If this book was a success, suddenly I'm in a mechanism. Suddenly I've got someone who wants another book from me. Suddenly I got eyes on me. I got people watching. Nothing is going to be the same. And I just don't see any side of that. I just know myself well enough. Power corrupts, man. If I became J.K. Rowling, I would become J.K. Rowling. You know what I'm saying? I would be a fucking stupid asshole. I just can't really see a version of success that isn't like that. Like, the only upside would be that it would open doors for other things. Maybe I could talk someone into letting me direct a movie or something. In and of itself, success, I'm too old now. I know too much. I've seen too much. I've been down too many roads. It's like, there's no way I would handle success well. There's just no way. So I'm just really not fucking motivated to finish this. So, I mean, I guess obviously the way to avoid all that, I could just put out the book for free, put it out as a companion to this podcast. Hey, alongside the podcast, here's the PDF. Here's the book. Check it out. But also, I mean, I put so much work into this book, and I really do think it's really cool. Like, I can't just, like, not try, you know? I can't at least try to send it down that path of, like, the proper book channels. But it's a lose-lose in my mind. It's failure, which is a failure, or it's success, which is a failure, you know? So I'm extremely not motivated to finish. I'm just really not. That's how you get to the last page of the book and not finish, because I don't want to finish. However, I came up with a solution for that for now. I had to cast my mind back to Stephen King's book, his book On Writing, that I read a long time ago, 20 years ago or something, but certain parts of it did stick with me. You know, on the negative side, it was his explanation of how he thinks things should be described. Man, his fucking example of an economic description of a scene is insane. It's like a page and a half. It's so fucking long, talking about the squeak of the leather and the fucking scent of the mahogany and all this shit. And I was like, I am not on your wavelength on that one, Mr. King. I hate descriptions of anything. I say describe nothing ever. People have a brain. They can envision things. You don't need to describe all this shit. Again, just maybe one of those idiosyncrasies with me that everyone else will hate. But the part positively that stuck with me was he described how after he finished a book, you know, he was in the typewriter days at this point, but he would take the manuscript all finished, put it in a drawer, and not open that drawer for 6 months. And that came back to me, and I think that's a very good idea. Because I do have an editing plan. There's this editor on YouTube, her name is Ellen Brock. I know I've brought her up before, but I like her because she talks about writing in a very, I don't know, a non-flaky way. There's a lot of, like, writing guru YouTube people that it's like, what are you fucking on? What are you talking about? Ellen Brock is just like an editor. She's like, here's the nuts and the bolts. And I remember she pitched this idea that I thought was a good idea of, like, once the book's done, try to sit down and read the whole thing without fixing stuff, without giving a fuck, like, with minimal notes. Try to read the whole thing in one day. If you have to, 2 days. But, like, don't read your first draft over in bits and pieces and do editing and do it all slow and meticulous. Try to read it all together so you really get a sense of the whole shape of it. And then you can see the larger picture of what might need to be changed. And I was like, that's a good idea, but it just fills me with such anxiety, the idea of just sitting down and reading this thing that I've been working on all these years, all together. It's just like, oh, That feels like a lot to put in my brain, man. But I think the Stephen King method is a very reasonable middle ground of like, I don't have to do all that right now, and I legitimately do think it'll help to put it aside for 6 months and to just clear my head. And like, what's the hurry? It's been so many years already. What's another 6 months? Who the fuck cares? It's fine. Finish this book, put it aside, then dive into the whole second process of dealing with this first draft half a year from now. That sounds fine. And that doesn't affect my writing at all, like the way I just kind of stopped writing in Asia. This won't be the same thing because I'm still going to write. And in fact, this kind of opens me up. Like this, it unblocked the log jam where one reason why I was having such a hard time getting back on my daily writing habit was that I saw the end coming. You know, I saw the end right there in front of me and I didn't know what to do and I didn't want to get there. And it's like, what do I do now? What do I do when I get to that thing? Let's just not get there. So now I feel like I have a much better course of approach, you know? The approach is put this book aside. It's not just some irresponsible thing to do. There's a reason to do this. This is actually probably a good idea. Clear it from the brain a little. Let it sit. Let it mellow. And now my daily writing can be concerned with other stuff because Lord knows I got enough other stories in various stages of development. What to write is not the issue. I got a million things I could be writing. But this will open me up to be able to work on them, to work on other stuff. So that's the plan. Again, I thought this episode was going to be the, hey, I'm all done episode. That'll probably be next episode because I really am just stupid close. It's ridiculous how close I am. So that's the plan, to finish this first draft, to put it aside, to get back on the wagon of writing every day with other stuff, with other writing. Ellen Brock, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast, but it tickled me greatly when I learned this. She never talks about being a writer herself. And you just kind of presume, I guess, like if someone is in that field, is an editor or is working in publishing, there's a good chance that they have aspirations to write themselves. But I never remember her bringing it up. But she did bring it up. Remember, I was listening to her talk about this while I was on Gunsan, the Gunsan Orium in Jeju, that she's working on a novel that she's been working on for 7 years. And she just said it so casually, and it made me feel good, of like, it's not a big deal. Like, this lady is about as pro as you can get in the YouTube sphere. And she wasn't backpedaling or making excuses or talking around it like I always do. Oh, I'm so sorry it took so long. Oh my God, I can't believe it. She just said it so matter-of-factly, like it was not weird that she's been working on a novel for 7 years. And I was like, thank you, Ellen. Thank you. Because yeah, I do think this is like, I came out of the gates because my Last of Us book took like a couple of years. I was like, it'll be harder to do a novel, say 3 years. I just didn't know what I was talking about. Like, I don't think that this chronicle of writing a novel, it's not like I did something wrong or I messed up somehow by it taking this long. I just didn't know. I didn't know what I was saying. I should have started this podcast saying, see you in 8 years, you know? So it's just nice to hear someone else say that and to be so nonplussed about it. Not stressed about finishing, not like a big deal. It's like, hey, I'm just working on my novel. And I'm still working, and I'll just keep working, and it takes a long time, and that's fine. It was delightful to hear. So we're at the end, and in a way, sort of back at the beginning. Just back to establishing the daily writing habit, but now it's going to be focused on a different story, not this one. Again, this one's not technically done, but so fucking close. So close, it's ridiculous. So I'll no doubt talk about that next episode. But today, just putting my money where my mouth is. Horrible insomnia, stayed up all night. Great day to take a day off. Great day to just fucking, to just fuck the dog. Which is a weird term to use in general, but I'm also at a dog park right now. There's a bunch of dogs everywhere. Let's not. Let's, a great day to slack. But I'm not slacking. I'm on my way to do work. So, now that the Spotify apocalypse has already happened, this podcast is already non-Spotify compliant. Yeah, let's just play a fucking song. Fuck it. I mean, I guess I could go through and, like, re-edit every single episode and do an alternate upload and a new RSS feed that doesn't have the songs, yada yada, but it's just like, dude, fuck off, Spotify. It's so weird that they just have no tools to deal with this at all. You know, like, just fucking, come on, dude. But I love playing songs, and I still feel like, I mean, it's just like, yeah, it's what I said at the start of this podcast, but I still feel like it's kind of true of just, like, music, it feels appropriate. It feels like it does fit. It's not just my own crapulence that I just, oh, here's a song I want to listen to. So many, like, tonal ideas especially come from music for me. I really think music and writing, those processes work together so well. I want there to be music in this podcast. So the song I've been listening to like a lunatic lately, just to an absurd degree, there's this lady named Eka Vandal, who my friend Ray mentioned her to me, and she's, I think, from Sri Lanka, but grew up in Australia, and just does the coolest fucking shit. And I was like, how did you hear about her? What is this? You know? Like, this song I'm going to play is called Father Hustler, and it's a Father Hustler. And it's only got like 45,000 views on YouTube. It's like not a lot. And I was like, how did you learn about this extremely cool lady? And Ray was like, oh, she's opening for Limp Bizkit right now. I was like, wow, all right. Uncle Fred Durst has good taste. He knows who's cool, apparently. But yeah, Ray was fucking right. He nailed it on this one. He's like, hey, I think you'd like this chick. And man, he was right. I love this chick. It's fucking awesome. And this song, it's kind of like weird. A weird kind of, like, it gives me a bit of a Björk vibe, the way the music is, just kind of weird sounds and things. And there's very few lyrics in this song, a lot of repetition. But it's just cool and weird. But then the chorus hits, and it's like, ah, nice. Like, that's cool. That sounds neat. And then a second chorus hits that is like a mega chorus, a super chorus, the uber chorus. And I was like, whoa, like, it's one of those things where the first time I heard this song, it just gave me, like, goosebumps. I was like, what the fuck is going on? That is so cool. What the shit? That super chorus is crazy. And if you watch the video for this, Eka Vandal, Father Hustler, it makes it seem even more mental. It's just like, what? Wow, what's going on? But in particular, not this entire song, but the chorus part. It sounds like alien music. Like, there are parts in this novel where Sarat, the Rhinotherium alien, talks about these big music gatherings she used to go to on her homeworld. And I feel like this is, like, the kind of music they would listen to, you know? Except instead of, like, you'd have to change it to, like, live drums. And if I was to use this specific song in, like, a movie, say, I don't know if I would maybe, like, just translate it into an alien language or just use it as it is. I don't know, whatever. It's just cool, man. It's just really cool. So, yeah, this is Father Hustler by Eka Vandal. One of those songs that it's just like, oh, man, that seems pretty cool. Oh, look at that. I've listened to it 100 times. How did that happen? Because it's fucking awesome is how that happened. But all right, I managed to mosey and dawdle around a little bit, enough to finish up this podcast, but now I'm heading toward the heavier traffic and then coffee shop. So it's time to do writing. Join me next episode when I swear to fucking God, this fucking novel's gonna be over. Asterisk, you know, first draft. You know. But I really do consider just getting the first draft done. Like, that's it. That was, like, that feels like the goal. I feel like everything else is like a separate discipline, a whole different thing now. And I'm gonna make it. After all this time, I'm totally gonna make it. And I mean, now that I've gotten it off my, like, out of my frontal lobe, I'm just like, yeah, once it's done, I am gonna put it aside a bit. And I'm not gonna worry about it right away. And that direct pressure is gone. It does feel pretty good. Like, I am pretty proud of myself. I fucking did it. the shit that I've been trying to do my whole life, I did it. I'll save the congratulatory self backpats for next episode when I actually did it. But join me then for that. Father Hustler by Ekka Vandal. Look, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is the coolest song you're going to hear today, all right? I'm willing to fucking... I'm going to give it that stamp. Okay, see you next time.
Counting on the young view for your pedestal, 'cause the nest was safe and secure. But you disappear to build on your career. So tell me what you do. Running up the trade to supply for the family, driving a wedge by going down this path, looking for the good. But this road seems to leave you looking slow, damn crooked.
Where are the trees with the money? Where are the trees with the money? I can burn plants and seeds for the money. With soft hands, rip trees from the earth, break them bills for the money. Bills, but will I have to work? Lay back, dream for the money, for the hustle, I'll make 'em go to work.
With soft hands, rip trees from the earth, break them bills.